Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We're going to be in our third part talking about Elijah unto Elisha. And so far, we've talked about the call of Elisha, how Elisha was called to be a prophet when Elijah felt alone in the nation of Israel and felt like he was the only person who was walking with God and was doing what was right. And what seemed to be one of the darkest moments of Elijah's life, God points him and directs him to Elisha, a person who he was to go and to train and to teach him and to raise up to be the next prophet of Israel. And it was for this purpose that we're going to see in our teaching this week, because Elijah is going to be called home. God is going to bring him into the heavens. So Elijah is no longer going to be on the earth. So he points Elijah to Elisha. And then Elisha goes and he walks with Elijah and he basically becomes his servant. He serves Elijah while Elisha is serving as a prophet, as he is functioning in the purpose in which Elijah was called to do, which Elisha will one day take over. But before he moves into Elijah's role, he serves as a person who is ministering or who is serving Elijah while he is being taught by Elijah. And so we have all been called with a purpose, and he has given us and placed inside of us a desire and a calling for us to fulfill and for us to do. And there are moments and there are seasons in our lives that we go through just like Elisha, where we are called to serve, we are called to learn, and Elisha was willing to be humble and to serve Elijah. And upon being willing to be humble and serve Elijah, when the time comes, Elisha is ready to fulfill that which he has been called to do. So this week in our reading, we're going to see the mantle actually being passed down from Elijah unto Elisha. So we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Now it happened when Yahweh was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for Yahweh has sent me as far as Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As Yahweh lives, and as your soul lives, I will not forsake you.' So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Be silent.' And Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, please stay here, for Yahweh has sent me to Jericho.' But he said, 'As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not forsake you.' So they came to Jericho. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today?' And he answered, 'Yes, I know. Be silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Please stay here, for Yahweh has sent me to the Jordan.' And he said, 'As Yahweh lives, and as your soul lives, I will not forsake you.' So the two of them went on." So I want to pause here for a moment in the story. We see a couple of things happening as the time is approaching for Elijah to be taken up by the whirlwind to heaven. The first thing we see here is that on three occasions, Elijah looks to Elisha and tells him, "You stay here, for Yahweh has sent me somewhere else." First, he says Yahweh has sent him to Bethel. Then he says he has sent him to Jericho. And then he says he has sent me to the Jordan. All three times, Elisha's response is the same thing. As Yahweh lives, and as your soul lives, I will not forsake you. So up until this point, and even at this point, Elisha is, again, he is ministering unto Elijah. Elisha is not fulfilling the role of a prophet at this moment in time. He is simply walking in humility and serving Elijah. And when Elijah says, "You stay here, I'm going to go on," Elisha has a choice. He can either listen to Elijah, and if he was to stay behind, you could say he is willing to allow Elijah to go, and then now he's going to do his own thing. He's going to begin to function as a prophet there where he was at Gilgal, because that's where they were, okay? But Elisha knows that his purpose at that moment in time was to serve Elijah. And he had it set in his heart that he was going to serve Elijah until Elijah was no longer there. And Elisha is very aware of what is about to happen. He knows Elijah is about to be called away. He knows that his time is there, that he is at the precipice of doing what he has been called to do, what he has been training to do and training for, being taught by Elijah, and humbly walking and serving with Elijah. But he doesn't get eager to jump in there and do it the way he wants to do it. But he stays focused upon what his task is and focused upon what it is that he wants. Remember, when Elijah appeared unto Elisha to call him, he threw his mantle upon Elisha. This was a symbolic movement, notion of saying, the anointing that is upon me, the spirit that is upon me, is going to come upon you. So at that moment in time, he threw his mantle upon Elisha, but it doesn't stay with Elisha. The mantle comes back to Elijah, and he puts his mantle back on after the calling of Elisha. But Elisha is focused upon that mantle, and he wants the mantle of Elijah. And it's not that the mantle itself has something of value. It's not that he needs the mantle. It's what the mantle represents. He knows he needs the anointing. He knows he needs the spirit that is upon Elijah. He needs the power of God that is resting upon Elijah, and that mantle represents that to Elisha. So Elisha says, "I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you until you have been taken away," because he is after the mantle. He wants the mantle. His eyes are set upon that. We see the focus of Elisha in this moment. And even on this journey, as he's taken this journey, it says that the sons of the prophets, of the other prophets there, the sons of the prophets, they look to Elisha and they say, "Do you know that your master is going to be taken away from you today?" And Elisha responds, "I know." It's very interesting because here is a man that he has been serving and he has been studying under. And I'm pretty sure Elisha loved Elijah very much. And the idea of Elijah no longer being around can stir some emotions in Elisha. But he is focused upon what he has been called to do. He's focused upon what God has planned to do. And that is what his focus is upon. He's not getting caught up in what everyone is saying around him. He's not getting caught up in the distractions that are going on around him. But he continues to stick to the side of Elijah. He continues to stay with him. And in doing this, he is going to get the thing that his eyes have been set upon. And so that is the question for us, is what are our eyes set upon? What are we focused upon obtaining? Are we listening to the distractions that are around us? Are our minds focused upon the distractions around us? Are we allowing distractions to cause us to lose focus of the purpose that we have been given? Elisha's purpose was to serve Elijah until Elijah was no more. And he stuck to his purpose and he stayed to what his purpose was. And that's how we are to be. We are to stick to what our purpose is. We are to stick to what he has called us to do at this moment in time. And then when the time comes for the change, we need to have our eyes focused upon the change that is coming. Elisha remained focused upon Elijah up until the change, and his eyes stayed focused during the change. And because he stayed focused, he obtained the thing that he was focused upon, the thing that he desired, the thing that he wanted. Elisha wanted and desired to have the mantle of Elijah, and he was not going to settle for not having it. So he was going to stick close to Elijah wherever Elijah went until the very end in hopes of obtaining and having Elijah's mantle. And we need to have that same resolve in us to stick to what we have in our hearts, what we have been called to do, and to stay faithful in what we have been called to do. Don't try to get too far ahead. Don't try to make things happen on your own, but trust God and trust him to work it out and to fulfill what he said he is going to do in his timing, when the timing is right. And his trust and his belief was in that. He could have walked away from Elijah and just went and done his own thing, but he didn't, because he had his focus upon being the servant of Elijah and obtaining the mantle of Elijah. What is our focus? What is it that we have been called to do? What is he trying to prepare us for? Where we are now, where we are positioned. We are here for a reason, because he is working on us and he is preparing us for what he has for us in the future. And if we just surrender to his will and his desire and his purpose at this moment and stay faithful and focused upon what we are to accomplish and do at this moment, then when the time is right to make the shift, we'll be ready to make the shift. We have to stay faithful where we are. And it's when we're faithful where we are that we will be worthy and we will be ready to step into that next dimension with him, that next calling that he has for us, the next purpose that he has for us as he elevates us in our walk with him and our calling with him. We're constantly being called upward, but we have to go through the process on our path upward and remain faithful where we are and try not to jump ahead. Now let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance. But the two of them stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters. And they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now it happened when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken away from you. And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. So Elisha has stuck by the side of Elijah three times. When asked to stay where he was, Elisha says, no, I am going to stick by you. I will not forsake you. I am going wherever you go. And that's what we have to have, the heart of the Father, of God, and of our Messiah, Yeshua. We are to go where he goes. We are to stick by his side. We never leave him and we never forsake him. And upon him remaining faithful and never leaving the side of Elijah, Elijah asked him, what shall I do for you before I am taken from you? So here we see the reward of Elisha for remaining faithful and sticking by the side of Elijah. Now he is given the question, what can I do for you? And now we see the response from Elisha. We see what it is that Elisha desired and wanted. He says, let me have a double portion of your spirit upon me. Elisha is bold. He is unashamed. He doesn't just ask for the spirit that is upon Elijah, but he asks to have a double portion of the spirit that is upon Elijah. He wants as much as he can have. He's not settling just for a little bit, but he has a hunger and a desire for more. And that's how we need to be. We need to have that hunger of Elisha. That's just not hungering for what we need or the bare minimum of what we need to accomplish what he has called us to do. But we're longing and desiring to have that double portion. Desiring to have more of his spirit in us, more of his power in us. Because Elisha knew that if he had that double portion, that not only could he accomplish what he witnessed Elijah accomplish, but he could accomplish more. And it wasn't for the sake of Elisha that he wants this. It's for the purpose of what he has been called to do. Our desire and hunger for his power and his spirit upon our lives should not be motivated for self, to promote oneself, but it should be out of motivation and a desire to accomplish the things he has called us to do, to be the light that he has called us to do, to advance his kingdom as he has called us to do. That is the desire and the purpose of wanting a double portion, of having his power and his spirit upon our lives. And Elijah looks to him and says, "This is a hard thing that you have asked." Meaning, in order to obtain this, do you know the level that you have to have shown yourself to be faithful? Do you know what you have to go through in order to show that you are able to have this double portion? The seasoning and the preparation that one would go through in order to be trusted to have the double portion. And so Elisha is tested with this. And he looks at him, he says, "If you see me when I'm taking away from you, let it be so for you. But if not, then it shall not be for you." So had Elisha at any moment in time had listened to Elijah when he said, "You stay here," then Elisha would not have gotten the opportunity to obtain the double portion of the spirit that was upon Elijah. It was him remaining faithful and sticking by the side of Elijah that positioned him and put him in the right place so that he could obtain the thing that he was seeking for, the thing he was looking for. And so as we are on our journey, as we are on our walk and we're walking with him, we have to be able to decipher between what is noise, what is a distraction, what are the things that are drawing us away, that are taking us away from being positioned in the right place to obtain the thing that we desire and long for. Elisha knew what he wanted, and so he wasn't drawn away by the noise. Now, let's look at verse 11. "As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha was seeing this, and he was crying out, 'My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan." So Elijah tells Elisha, "If you see me as I'm taking into the heavens, you will have what you desire." So then comes the moment where a chariot of fire and horses comes and it separates the two of them. And Elijah is pulled up by the whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha keeps his eyes on Elijah for as long as he could, until he could not see him anymore. In the midst of everything going on, think about how this looked. Think about the scene that is going on as this is occurring. But Elisha's focus is upon one thing and one thing only, and that is Elijah. His eyes remain focused upon him. And he is watching this happen, and he stays laser focused upon him as he is pulled up in this whirlwind to heaven. And as Elijah is pulled up into a whirlwind, Elijah's mantle falls to the ground below. And so because Elisha's eyes were focused upon Elijah, he sees the mantle of Elijah fall to the ground because he was focused upon what he was supposed to be focused upon. He was looking at what he was called to look at. He sees his reward come unto him. And then he picks up the mantle of Elijah. He picks up the thing that symbolizes the spirit that was upon Elijah, the power and the anointing that was upon Elijah. And he had asked for a double portion of that spirit and power. So when he picks up the mantle, he is picking up the thing that is representing that reward of him receiving the double portion of Elijah, of his spirit, of his power, of the anointing that was upon him. He believed and expected to have that double portion. And because he believed and expected it, he acted in a certain manner, in a certain way. Because he believed he could attain it, he followed the words that Elijah told him. He kept his eyes on Elijah. He watched as Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind into the heavens. And that faith and the action of his faith produced and gave him the reward that he so desired. Had he ever walked away and stayed behind, he never would have been there to pick up the mantle of Elijah as it fell to the earth, as Elijah was taken into the heavens. It was his faithfulness that allowed him to reap the reward of the thing that he desired. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is working out for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So as Elisha was trained and taught, that which you see, if you see me, what are you looking at? What are you seeing? It's the same with us. What are you seeing? If you are focused and seeing that which is temporary, then you are not going to see the things which are eternal. If you think about the journey of Elisha, as he is following Elijah and the sons of the prophets are speaking this noise unto him, they are speaking things which are temporary unto him. They are not thinking about that which is eternal. The idea of Elijah being called up into the heavens and the whirlwind was a temporary thing at that moment. The eternal thing, the thing of importance, was Elisha obtaining the mantle, the double portion of Elijah. And that's what Elisha was focused upon, that which was eternal, obtaining the mantle of Elijah. So what are we instructed to do? To not set our eyes on that which is temporary, not setting our eyes upon the circumstances that we are in right now, not setting our eyes upon the affliction that we may be experiencing right now, or the darkness that we may be experiencing right now. But our focus and our eyes are set upon the eternal weight of glory, that glory which is waiting for us ahead. So we press toward that glory that is ahead. Elisha pressed ahead toward the glory of receiving the mantle of Elijah. So what is our instructions? Do not lose heart, because the inner man is renewed day by day. Our focus should be upon what is going on the inner man. What is happening inside of us? What is our spirit man doing day by day? Are we renewing our spirit man day by day? Are we strengthening our spirit man day by day? Are we living and walking according to the spirit that is inside of us day by day? Or are we focused upon that which is temporary? Are we focused upon that which is fleshly? If we lose focus of the spiritual and we start to focus upon that which is fleshly, then we will lose the reward that comes from walking in his spirit. We will not attain, and we will not be able to be positioned to receive the mantle as Elisha was. Now let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where is Yahweh, the God of Elijah?" Indeed, he himself also struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him and said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So before Elijah was taken up, Elijah struck the river with his mantle, and they crossed the river. Elijah and Elisha crossed the river on dry ground. He is called up into the heavens. Elisha picks up the mantle of Elijah, and the first miracle, you could say, or the first supernatural work that Elisha does is he's going back. He is leaving the spot where Elijah has been called up, and he is headed back to his land. As he comes to the river, the same river he just watched Elijah split by striking it with his mantle, Elisha calls upon the God of Elijah, and he strikes the waters with the mantle of Elijah, and the waters divide, and he crosses over the river on dry ground, just as he had witnessed Elijah do. It was confirmation unto Elisha that the spirit that was upon Elijah is now on him. He now has the confirmation that he has obtained the thing that he has desired and sought after. And now it is time for him to walk as the prophet of God. He has shown himself by walking in humility and staying faithful and steadfast that he is worthy of the calling that has been placed upon him. And God's going to do the same thing with us. He's going to test us to see through, are we humble enough? Are we faithful enough? And are we steadfast enough for him to place his spirit upon us to fulfill the task that he has called us to do? So Elisha crosses over the river, and upon doing so, the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho, the ones who before were a noise unto him, who was saying, don't you know that he is being called away from you today? I don't think that they knew that Elisha was going to be functioning in the role of Elijah. They just saw a humble servant, someone who was just serving this prophet. But as Elisha comes back across this river, they no longer see the humble servant of Elijah, but now they see a person who has the same spirit of Elijah on him. They now see the prophet of Israel, the prophet sent and called by God. And so they meet him and they bow themselves on the ground before him, and they recognize that the spirit of Elijah now rests on Elisha. Elisha did not have to go and proclaim himself to be the prophet of Israel. God made it known unto the sons of the prophets that he now was the prophet of Israel, that the spirit of Elijah was now on Elisha. We do not have to go and promote ourselves. God will make it known that his spirit is upon us if we are faithful and humble and steadfast in what he has called us to do, and we walk according to his spirit. When his spirit is upon us, it will be known. When we are walking in our purpose with him, he will make it known to the people of this earth. He will glorify us when we simply walk in humility. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.